Since the creation of the universe, God has been making promises. When people failed God in the garden, he still promised that one would come who would strike the head of evil. And since that day, people have been searching and waiting for God's promise. They were waiting for the promise of God living among them. They were searching for a shepherd to lead his people. They were hoping for a new kind of king. And most of all, they longed for God's promise of the Savior of the world to come. Join us this Christmas season at Revolution Church for our teaching series, Promise, as we study the Scriptures and see God's promises in action.
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone this morning? Good. Your teams win yesterday? I've heard a few stray UK fans there. You know, I was up in Ohio. I'm from Ohio, and so Scarlet and Gray, you know, woo! Thank you, Io! I knew there's some other Ohio fans here. My wife's back there representing, wearing their Buckeye shirt, and, you know, when Mr. Evil gets back, I'll have to kind of, you know, rub it in just a little bit, you know, since he's a fan of that team up north. So anyways, we're glad you're all here. Welcome to Revolution, and today we kick off the church calendar. Today is the beginning of Advent. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that we think that it comes at the end of the year, but really, Advent is the beginning of the church calendar. It's the day we begin to just kind of celebrate and recognize the story of Christ's life and our part in it. So this morning, that, you know, usually we start off reading Gospels a lot in Advent, but today we're going to be kind of going back a little bit. You know, we started John Mark this morning, read from Isaiah, and that's where our text is at this morning. So let's all read it together this morning with a little bit of chutzpah. So here we go, Isaiah 64. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you, as when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes water to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies and cause the nations to quake before you. When you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down, and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. The word of God. So this Advent thing, what does it even mean? You know, it's kind of an interesting word. Advent comes from the Latin word adventus, which means arrival or coming. So it's the season where we recognize the coming or arrival of Christ. It's a time in which we reflect and prepare for the reality of the realization that God has come and dwelt among us, that the Word has become flesh and showed us the way to live and to guide us through this thing called life. It's a time, you know, we reflect and prepare, and usually, you know, we're big on Lent as a time of reflection. You know, we go through it and kind of, you know, think about where we're at in life, our relationship to God and to others. And, you know, Advent kind of passes by and we observe it and celebrate it. But, you know, I think there's something about Advent this morning I want to share that has to do with kind of reflecting, preparing for something for God to do in our own life. That it is a time of, you know, peace, reflection, and Black Friday. You know, Black Friday, you know, we just got past this. It seems to kick off, you know, the holiday season, which is really kind of odd. And I think tomorrow is, what, Cyber Monday or something like that? Cyber Monday. And so, you know, there's nothing wrong with shopping or getting gifts or going out and doing it. But, you know, it's like, how did a time of just reflection and on who Christ has been for us and a time of peace, how did it become, you know, this chaos? You know, I've never gone Black Friday shopping. It kind of just scares me to even look at this picture. But it's like, how did it become such like a time of stress? You know, I mean, in the coming weeks, how many Christmas parties do you have to go to? Or you know, how much shopping do you have to do? You know, it's just like the season comes up and we're just enduring it, just trying to get through it, you know, kind of holding our breath and like, I can't wait for, you know, Christmas to be over. Is that really what Advent's about? Is that really how we should approach it? It's kind of funny, the Mayo Clinic online has a page on holiday stress. And it's like, I saw it, I'm like, this is a thing. Like, this is a diagnosable symptom, holiday stress. And, you know, it has like a list of like what to do to kind of relieve your stress, you know, cutting back on your spending and being, you know, not being afraid to say no to go to a Christmas party or something like that. But it's kind of weird that this is like a thing. You know, is that what Advent's about? Just being stressed out and trying to get through it? You know, why is this the case again? Why, how did Christmas become something to be endured rather than enjoyed and celebrated? You know, I just kind of love, we'll get into the historical context in a minute, but I just love how this, just the imagery in this text, like if you would only tear open the heavens and come down, mountains would quake before you, and fire ignites and makes water boils, and if you would make your name known to your enemies, nations would tremble in your presence. You know, I just like that kind of imagery. There's a lot of just, it's almost like a poem we read today. You know, there's a lot of quaking mountains and shriveled up leaves and, clay and a potter folding it. And there seems to be this sense of a lot of movement in it. And I feel like in the beginning of Advent, maybe all these routines we have, these parties and shopping or whatever, maybe it's a season for us to be broken of those. Maybe it's a time to invite God in and to shake us up just a little bit, to kind of get our attention and to make us kind of slow down and kind of interrupt our own schedules. And I think it's a time that it's a season. It's a season that takes time. You know, rather than trying to rush through it, maybe God's trying to slow us down and listen for what maybe God's trying to say to us. Maybe it's a time to be shaped and transform and to take our time and to pay attention to the people and things around us. Let's think about that a little bit as we watch this video.
What I love about Advent is that it's actually a season. And when I think about the birth of Christ, I mean, God could have just come down in a day, but he was grown over a season. And although we all live under the veil of Christ and we're changed whenever he comes into our lives, at the same time, we continue to grow through the seasons. And I appreciate that. I think most about Advent is the ability to grow through a season towards hope. The other day I had a dream about an art teacher coming to me and asking me questions about, aren't you concerned about this level of art your daughter's putting out? And I was like, I don't see how I can be concerned about that when you're teaching her to draw outlines and fill it in with substance. And you're not teaching her how to draw substance out of herself and let it take a natural form. And it directly related to me this dream about Advent, that there's a baby, you know, that's coming into form, about to birth into form. It's an action that is moving, and, you know, it's not like there's an outline of a baby in there and then a heart comes in, intestines or whatever. It's like it is growing into the form and not like dependent on, you know, an outline to determine what it is. It's like it's going to say what it is. It's going to come into its form. And there's there's times in life where I know I've said, like, I feel like something's missing. There's a big chunk missing, and I need to fill this hole. You know, like, I am the outline, and I want to plug something in. Like, here's where my spirit goes, or here's where inspiration comes from. But, and it's just, this is my mothering. I need to plug in something here. But what I am feeling now is, you know, when the Spirit is in us, when Christ, you know, when Christ is over us, you know, the veil that God sees us through, you know, is His life and His sacrifice, then, you know, basically we start to rebirth, and that rebirth is like, it starts to develop, and then it reforms us on the outside. So, I mean, just the idea of, like, the progression of the body and how the body changes over time. It's like continually rebirthing and dying off. And so I think that in that case, I mean, we can't really say that we're necessarily outlines that need to be filled. We're all kind of impregnated with the Spirit and developing into wholeness, into a full form.
At this time, I'm going to dismiss our kids at Revolutions Kids Church. So let's cheer them on as they go upstairs and learn a bit about Jesus. I just love, you know, thinking about Advent as a season and a time to really slow down and take time. I love in the video how she mentioned that, you know, God could have come down a long, long time ago, but that, you know, He came as a baby. Of all things. You know, He didn't just show up down on the mountain and say, I am God and follow me. You know, that's not how it happened. He came as a baby. And that takes, you know, 9 months in the womb and, you know, then just growing up. And then we don't hear much about Him until He's 30, which is kind of interesting. It's like, where did those lost years go? What was God doing in Christ during those times? And so it's kind of interesting that for Advent then, while we're just trying to rush through it and just barely survive, that there, I think God wants to slow down and maybe kind of pay attention to what's going on, to really just kind of open ourselves up for whatever God may have for us, and to allow ourselves to be broken of our routines and to be shaped. You know, in this text today, let me go back a bit. Isaiah, you know, is a pretty long book, and maybe it's about 66 chapters, and it wasn't all written at just one point. You know, scholars noticed that there's three different, like, periods in which it was probably written, so it was written over a course of time. And, you know, it acknowledges an event that happened in 587 BC, which was the exile. What happened was, in Israel at the time, you had a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. Northern kingdom was called Israel, and then the southern kingdom was Judah. And if you go through the book of 1st and 2nd Kings, you can read all about it. But the northern kingdom was eventually fell and defeated by the Assyrians a couple centuries earlier, and so they had been deported a long time before. But in 587 BC, about the time that Isaiah is writing, or around this era, Judah eventually is invaded by the Babylonians, and so they're deported, and Jerusalem falls, and then they find themselves living in a foreign land. So, you know, you can imagine the people who were living under occupation in Egypt back in Exodus are once again living under occupation in a foreign land. They've lost their home. So you can imagine the kind of how this shaped that community during that time, just the kind of trauma and just the feeling of loss that, you know, you can't really quite go home again. And by the time the scripture we read today, Isaiah 64, when this was written after the exile. So the people have actually had a chance to return home. What happened is the Persians invaded the Babylonians, you know, kingdoms invade kingdoms like they do. And eventually King Cyrus allowed the Jewish people to return home. So they return home, you know, they got this kind of mess, and they're like, well, where do we go from here? You know, we've been exiled from our land, and we're back now, but, you know, there's new realities to face. For example, when they were away in a foreign land, some people inherited some new religious practices, you know, Persian kind of religious practices. So there are now divisions within the community. You know, some and people are trying to figure out, like, how do we get back to where we were? You know, how do we get back home? And I think that during Advent, you know, the holiday season has a way also kind of this feeling of loss. A lot of us experience a certain amount of pain, I think, during the holidays that sometimes we're not really willing to acknowledge or talk about. You know, if you've lost a loved one, for example, or in the first Thanksgiving without them, which is, to be a little transparent, is what happened in my own family this last week. My grandfather passed, and so this is our first Thanksgiving without him. And you feel that sense of loss, like this isn't quite home like it was. Or maybe on the other hand, if maybe you have a broken relationship, you know, getting around Thanksgiving and it can be rather stressful, you know, all the politics that are exchanged around the table or something, but there might be a sense that you realize this isn't quite home. I haven't talked to this person in years. And so really, if we're honest with ourselves, the holidays can oftentimes be rather painful and make us question, where is God in the midst of all of this? You know, while parties are going on and people are singing Christmas carols, we might feel rather quite alone, wondering, you know, I'm not okay. No, I'm not feeling very joyful. What do I do during this season? You know, and like the people, and here in Isaiah, they, you know, they mentioned that a lot of them, they attribute their own sins for the reason they were exiled. They say, you know, all of us wither like a leaf. Our sins, like the wind, carry us away. So there's this sense where they're aware of their own brokenness. They're aware that they don't have it all together, that they have screwed up, that they have hurt themselves and others, and that they don't have it all together. So, you know, I think that it's kind of the same way like for us today, that we just, in this season, wonder, you know, I don't have it all together. You know, it turns out that I do need God. And sometimes it's in our brokenness that we see God's grace all the more clearly. You know, this morning, I walked outside my apartment and found a leaf, you know, rather nice leaf. They're all over the place in my apartment complex. I'm sorry?
If you had trouble finding that, you can come to my
house. Come to your house? I'll make sure to do that. Bring a rake with me or something. But, you know, the thing about this leaf is it's dying, you know, and yet there's something so beautiful about it. You know, fall is my favorite time of the year, I think, because you just look at all the trees and it's just gorgeous, you know, especially, you know, around the seminary on Alta Vista Road. You just look at all the trees. It's just wonderful. It's like heaven's got to look like this. But, you know, this leaf is dying. You know, it's already kind of dead. It's detached from the tree. And yet there's something beautiful about it. You know, I think there's something maybe even about our brokenness. Maybe there may be something beautiful about it. Maybe God can work in the brokenness as well. Maybe God is present in the highs and the lows. You know, and throughout this text, they're remembering, saying, you know, God, we remember back to the times where you did things we didn't expect. You know, they remember back to the Exodus, which, you know, there's a new movie coming out soon with Batman as Christian Bale, which, you know, I don't know what to do with that. But, you know, it's we look at this text and like, they remembered earlier times when he rescued his people. And they think back, this is what God is like. God is the God who hears our cries in pain. God hears the cry of those who suffer. And God responds and frees and gives new life to those who hurt. And in the chapter, in Isaiah 63, just the chapter preceding the one we read today, they reflect on God. They say, he's the one who guided Moses' strong hand with his glorious arm, who split the water for them to create an enduring reputation for himself and guided them through the depths. It's like this image of the depths for some reason. You know, just looking down. And, you know, it's quite, again, it's like the leaf, kind of beautiful, but just kind of scary too, isn't it? And it's kind of, you're in the dark and you're feeling like you're at the depths. And maybe right now you feel like that that's where you're at. Maybe that's in the place you're at. But what's so beautiful, you still see the light. That even in the dark times, in the depths of life, God is still there. God is still present, seeking to guide us through the difficult times we may face, whether it's the loss of a loved one, the loss of a relationship, or confronting some sort of broken relationship. So I find that we go back that what Advent's about is like it's kind of like how we start, what we start out reading. It's crying out for God to be with us. If you would tear open the heavens and come down, saying, God, make us aware of your presence around us. Make us aware of where you're at work. And work in us in both the good times and the bad. Take our brokenness, God, and use it. Let me invite the band back up. Now, I think that, again, like I said earlier, Lent is kind of the time we reflect on our need for God and the grace of God. But I think there's a space for that as well, to recognize that without God, there's not a whole lot of hope. You know, times can feel really dark and grim, and it's comforting to think that even in the sin and the brokenness, God is still present, seeking to guide and transform and shape us throughout this season. So let's reflect on that a little bit and cry out to God as we continue to worship this morning. Now, I love how this text ends. You get all the imagery in it. It's just great. It's just something to stick with you and think about. It says, "But now, Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. All of us are the work of your hand." And I think what's beautiful about clay is that, you know, you got to kind of break it down to work with it. Now you got to kind of separate it, and you got to get your hands messy, you know? You have to kind of get in there, and I think that there's something about this image I just find beautiful, that even in the dark, messy places in life, God is still at work, that God's not afraid to get his hands just a little messy and work to shape us and transform us into the people we were created to be. So I hope that throughout this Advent season that we'd be willing to be a little bit in touch with our brokenness, that we'd be willing to open ourselves up to being shaped and transformed by God, and that we would be encouraged and assured that God loves us, forgives us, and wants to work in us to restore us in his image. So throughout this Advent season, how might God shape and work in you and me? Are we willing to acknowledge our own pain and the pain of others? And what areas of your life do you need God to breathe in a little bit of new life? Let us pray.